Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, I got a few Florida Man stories. The first one, I just love the headline. The other part's probably not as good. A Florida man called American Airlines passengers blue-eyed white devils. The guy, by the way, is a white guy, so I don't know why he did this the way he did. I think of a mixed descent. But anyway, he was very, very mad, and he was threatening to take down the plane. So eventually he got removed from the plane. But I'd almost take it as a compliment if I got called a blue-eyed white devil by anybody in Florida, because you feel like there's a level of importance there, as of course I'm not doing evil, terrible things, devil style. But he seemed to be utterly unhinged. So I just love the fact that that's the headline for a Florida man. And if today is your birthday, you actually can Google Florida man and the date you were born, and you're probably finding that story. And that is your official Florida man story if you've ever played the Florida man birthday game. I love that that's a real thing, too. Another one out there, a court has ordered a Florida man to remove his shipping container boat from a lagoon in Florida. This dude apparently made a makeshift boat. He's had it docked at different places throughout Florida since 2021. His name is Fane Lozman. Apparently, the biggest problem with his sea vessel is that it's not seaworthy. He put windows in it. He put furniture in it. It's just shipping containers that he's cut to kind of sort of float that keep causing problems. I love the fact that he'd go to court and defend himself, though. He's like, hey, man, that's my boat. Leave my boat alone, as you somehow find a way to turn a shipping container or a few of them into something that doesn't completely sink to the bottom of the ground. In all honesty, I'm a little impressed with him. But yeah, it makes sense to ask for that to be removed. I can't stay there, especially since apparently several times it's just floated away from wherever it was docked and wound up causing problems for all kinds of people in these areas using their actual boats. I also can't help but envision what it would be like to be invited on a boat by this specific Florida man to show up at a marina and to see a shipping container with windows and furniture in it. And that guy being like, yeah, man, we're going to go for a day on the water. It's going to be a lot of fun for all of us. Is that a boat or what is that exactly? And he just tell you to shut up and you'll enjoy. I don't know if he's actually sailed it at all. That's the other part that I seem to love about this. And finally, one last Florida man story. A man carjacked an ambulance in Tampa. Then he crashed it, according to the cops. This happened about 2 a.m., I don't know why anyone would target to take a vehicle like this, of course. You cause a lot of harm. There's an element to this that's not as funny as some of the other Florida man stories are. But at the same time, it seems like it makes utter sense that you steal this thing, you crash it, and then you wind up getting arrested. The only thing that would have made it more Florida man, in my opinion, like a better version of the same story, is if he had crashed it into a police office, into a police department, because that happens all the time. The criminals, and I think especially in Florida, take the vehicle and go to the place where they're going to get arrested. I think one guy even got arrested for breaking into a jail, which to me is awesome. And the only thing that you see, or things that you see way more often in Florida than anywhere else. But again, this guy decided to steal an ambulance. Maybe it's the same guy who has a shipping container boat and then went on a joyride until he crashed it and caused a lot of headaches and issues for a lot of people. Court case coming up, and the guy's going to be in a whole lot of trouble, which hopefully they throw the book at this dude. He was driving a Chevy Tahoe before he decided to upgrade to the rescue vehicle. I'm not sure what that says about him. All right, we'll take a break. A lot more coming up. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana's literally everywhere. DanaRadio.com, a great website to check out, or her social media pages, DLash and Dana Lash Radio on social media on X. Lots of things out there in the news to discuss. I thought this was interesting. Chuck Todd on Sunday got very upset at the idea that his network, how dare they, NBC and MSNBC, hire Ronna McDaniel, the former RNC chair. I'm no fan of Ronna. I think she was doing a terrible job as the chair of the RNC, but this is fairly typical. I mean, you have White House press secretaries that get jobs on places like MSNBC constantly. And no one complained that the person who was lying to the news media, because they had to, because they had to make sure to protect the administration at all costs all the time, wind up getting jobs if they're Democrats. If they're Republicans, of course, this is much worse. And Ronna McDaniel apparently is the tip of the iceberg, or the final straw, I should actually say, for a lot of these individuals. Here is what Chuck Todd said right after the interview aired. He told his colleague, it's not your fault. You're put in a terrible situation, and this is awful. But again, this is fairly typical in the world of how politics and media blend each other so quickly.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe.
Okay, Chucky.
She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, I have no idea what any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us
I don't
to
know if she agreed to some of the stuff we said, because now she's getting paid for us. I don't know if her opinions are the same as they were before. I don't understand any of this. I'm mad.
And for the RNC, when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with. Is she speaking for herself, or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this.
Because yeah, what's that?
Many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting.
Is that because you guys also gaslight the RNC often, or you gaslight the politicians and just one side of the aisle as consistently as you do? You make up things, and then when egg is on your face, you refuse to admit you got stuff wrong. Is that the issue? Is that the challenge, Chuck Todd, or is it something else? I love this. You know what? I say this very often about a lot of the things. When you do what I do, or what Dana does, or what anybody does, and I don't know that I do things anywhere near as well as Dana Lash. She's way better, way more talented than me at this. But you see the inauthenticness. You see the crap in politics, and the crap from these you know, television media, legacy media morons all the time, and how they say stuff that they don't believe. One of my favorite interviews recently, actually, has been a sit down between Tucker Carlson anyone and everyone that you expect to say one thing, and they wind up saying something totally different, because so very often I think the belief now is that once you're free, and even Tucker, once he's free from any of the strings that might have been pulling him before, you feel like the conversation is more nuanced. You feel like the discussion is different. Megyn Kelly is another great example of that. And I wonder so often if these individuals, these people saying these things, even believe what they're saying, like Chuck Todd does. And how dare they? How dare they ever hire someone like Ronna McDaniel, who they can't trust, even though Jen Psaki and many, many others work there who had problems with the truth as well, quite often.
The people who help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. This is the Gen 3. And if you have previous iterations of this 9mm carbine, you're really going to love some of the enhancements of the Gen 3. First off, the Sub 2K folds in half, and previously you'd had to take your optics off to do so. Not anymore with the Gen 3. The simple twist and fold motion of the patent-pending rotating forend in either direction folds it right in half, and just as quickly and easily deploys it, optics and all. There's an upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned trigger mechanics. You got a light and 5-pound pull. You have upgraded action. There's a redesigned operating handle for added comfort as well. New chamber indicator. And it's made right here in the U.S. of A. Florida family-owned company with those values. They're incredibly innovative. They have a passion for innovation, and it's evident in everything that they have. And you can see the Sub 2K Gen 3 reads a Sub 2000 on their website. Go look at the website. Go to a range. Go to your FFL. Go and try it out. It's the Sub 2K Gen 3. KeltecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's the Dana Quick Five. My name is Craig Collins, filling in on the Dana Show. Thrilled to be with you. I'm going to do a twofer in here. I think I have two that are very similar stories, so I'm counting that as just one. But first, let's do this. A 35-year-old math teacher in Dallas decided he's running for president, and he thinks that you'll vote for him because you don't want to vote for Biden or for Trump. I've rejected a part of this narrative. I know a lot of people say this all the time. That we're sick of these two options, that it's same old, same old. But I think everything that's going on with Trump, whether it's the legal challenges or trying to remove him, literally remove him from ballots, I think it makes people much more invigorated to support that candidate than anyone that's trying to support, well, the idiot that's in the White House right now. So I reject a part of this narrative, but if you're a person that feels this way, apparently a guy wants to pull a Brewster's Millions and get you to vote for anybody else. And so he's actually changed his name to be literally anybody else. Here we go.
Literally anybody else? Yeah. That's my name.
My name is literally anybody else, and I'm running for president of the United States. You know, it's not necessarily about me as a person, but it's about literally anybody else as an idea. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, they're under it would be literally anybody else.
Let's do this as best we can. This is the same version of what you see in actual politics with people attacking each other instead of telling you any platform they have, just going even crazier. And again, it was done better by Richard Pryor, so really don't do it. All right, I have two billboard stories. I'm calling this a twofer. You have a guy that was pranked via, I guess, escalating office craziness. And they put up a cheese billboard. That's actually what people are looking up. It says, this man consumes over 20 gallons of liquid cheese in a year, and he cannot be stopped. This is obviously a joke, a prank. It's sort of stupid in a lot of ways. But they tracked down Jake Laws, the guy who's the cheese billboard dude. And here's what he said about all the pranks and how bad they've gotten.
It started out as a small little prank battle between me and my coworker Jonathan. We have pulled pranks on each other for quite a bit now. And I saw some of my coworkers wearing these shirts. It says 20 gallons and unstoppable. Of course, those are clues to the billboard that I had no idea was happening. Come to find out, the billboard was up. He comes up with very elaborate pranks.
Yeah, and he spends lots and lots of money and lots of his time on it. They compared them to Jim and Dwight from The Office. The reality is that when you do something this hard with this much effort, it actually is way less hilarious than when it happens in a TV show and you don't see the effort part. One other one in the world of billboard stories. I don't think we're going to get to five this first try. A restaurant owner or a brand new restaurateur put up a billboard that said literally, "Hey, Sophia, you broke up with me because I was poor. Now I have money to open a Korean barbecue. Are you regretting it now?" It's a real billboard. It's in Australia. No idea if the restaurant will be good or successful. Don't want to tell the guy. A lot of those restaurants don't make it. But darn it, it doesn't matter. It's not important. He's got the revenge billboard out there, so he's proud and happy with himself. This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Dana Lash is back tomorrow. Follow her on social media everywhere, D Lash or Dana Lash Radio. A couple great places to find her on Twitter, on X, and then also her website, her social media pages, her YouTube channel. There's so many things. She's all over the place and very deserving of it. She's awesome. But she's back tomorrow. I saw this story as far as some dumb things I saw in the news to end the show on. And I loved this one. I didn't know that people still really did the self-help column thing, like the Dear Abby thing. I thought people just shaded each other on social media or went to some of my favorite places on Reddit, like Am I the Jerk or Am I the A Word is what it actually is. But this person wrote in to a Dear Abby and asked a pretty amazing question. And I know this is radio. I know I got to clean it up a little bit. It's a tad adult in nature. But a guy wrote in with a question saying that he had had an intimate experience with his direct superior, a woman, on a business trip. He said one thing led to another and he thought it was fun, but he doesn't want it to continue after the one-off fun time. Here's the part that I couldn't get over this. He's complaining that the boss seems to now have genuine interest in him and is trying to continue to flirt or maybe bring him on more business trips. And he wants all that to end. I don't know how you say that it's the other person's fault. And I know that it's a tricky territory. HR would have a field day with this. But if you go so far as to actually have the one night stand and then be like, man, it's getting out of hand now. Some about that's amazing to me. I love that idea that it, and apparently the person was not, you know, tricked into or forced to do anything. Very happy. Had a good time. I just would like that time to be in the background now. To give credit to the person in the Dear Abby column, they said for the boss's own career benefit, it probably is something that should stop happening because, you know, it could get this person in trouble. But this has got to be the new version, the dating app, you know, casual dating life that we're all in version of, man, my boss is flirting with me too much. And all I did to make that a thing that started happening is sleep with them that one time. That's insane to me. I can't get over that. Another dumb story I saw out there. Apparently, finally apprehended. This is a criminal, a thief, someone who's been taking a lot of cars, but also someone who had a very unique description of them. This is the underwear bandit who was caught by police in a hilarious video that went viral online. Not a lot of good audio, so I'll tell you to go look up the video if you want to. But late last night at approximately midnight, the people at CM Motors located a missing vehicle, and the person behind the wheel was a dude wearing underwear on his head. I think he had clothing on as well. I don't think he was naked beyond it. But I will tell you, and I've said this before when I talk about crazy stories like this, I would be more intimidated by the criminal who's missing clothing or the criminal who puts, you know, underwear on their head than I would be by the dude who's like twice my size. I feel like the crazy person is more unpredictable in that world. And I don't know why a lot of criminals get naked before they commit crimes, but it happens. There's enough that I could do a whole segment called Naked News, where people unfortunately lose their clothing at some point while committing a crime. But this to me is a whole different area avenue where you just put it on top of the head. All right. I have one other piece of audio, too, for another stupid news story to close the show. Do we have an intro for this one? I can't remember if we do. Steven. All right, go ahead. Do a stinger. Nice. That's it. This is the stupidest story of the day to me. Chick-fil-A is embroiled in a controversy because they're changing their chicken from no antibiotic chicken to no antibiotic that is, you know, a harmful to human chicken, which is a very long name. And there's many, many young people very upset about this on social media. It doesn't matter. You're not going to taste a difference. I don't think it's important. But here's one person just very upset with this.
Start selling antibiotic chicken.
No!
They have no antibiotics whatsoever in its chicken. And now it's changing that policy starting spring of 2024. Now, Chick-fil-A says it's making this move to maintain the supply of high-quality chicken that you can expect.
Uh-huh.
Let's translate. It's cheaper to use chicken with antibiotics.
And we're all going to die. Or we're not, probably. Everything's going to be fine. But anyway, you'll be great, Chick-fil-A controversy. Ignore the haters. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.